want to do a series, if possible, on the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, the first one I want to share with you is on kindness. And kindness is one, it's not the first of the fruit of the Spirit. It's, I believe, number 5. But it is such a one that I've been using for last few weeks in my messages on God's loving kindness. And so I thought this would be a good one to start with. I'm going to have to go back, see what's going on with my... There it is. Everything's there now, just the scriptures there. I don't know. You never know back electronics, how they're going to work. But it is cool. I don't know. I tried to think up a name, a title for this message, and I said, well, it's cool to be kind, right? I mean, we go around being cool in different ways, the way we dress or the way we style our hair or something like that. So we like to be cool, right? So why not be cool in being kind to others and so forth in life? So first of all, let's look at the first verse. There it is, verse 22. How many fruit of the Spirit are they? You remember? How many?
Nine.
Yes. And it's not fruits of the Spirit, but it's fruit of the Spirit. Okay? All right. All right, let's look at verse 22. Galatians chapter 5. We got to get on the right page here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There it is. That is the fifth one, isn't it? Goodness, faithfulness. And then verse 23, gentleness, self-control. So why would self-control be the last one? Well, I think, as Paul was thinking about this, and as he wrote it, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, was that if we can get all the first 8 in line, we won't have no problem controlling the rest of our lives and so forth. So that is wonderful that we have the fruit of the Spirit and know what it means. And if you had to define, I was trying to think, how do you define kindness? And one of the ways that I think we can is, on the screen there, a very rare grace, often wanting in many who have considerable share the Christian excellence. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And also, I think it's a good education and polished manners when brought under the influence of God, the grace of God, will bring out this grace with great effort. Now, I think there's many other definitions of kindness, but I think it's just like love, joy, peace, and all the others that follow. It's something that you do, and it. Sometimes it takes an effort. It don't always come easy. But kindness should be a virtue of the Christian life. So kindness being what I would consider the fifth fruit of the Spirit, but it doesn't mean that it being the fifth fruit of the Spirit that it's not of the most importance. So, in fact, kindness has a great deal more impact than most people think. So, kind of to illustrate this, I was trying to think of kindness, how, well, of course, Jesus went about doing good and showing kindness, compassion in his life when he was here on earth. But in ways that we can see and identify with people in our past or people that we've seen, I was thinking of Fred, let's see. Rogers, Fred Rogers. You know who I'm talking about? I guess you know him better as Mr. Rogers. He had a TV series many, many years and so forth. But he was known as a man of kindness. And matter of fact, just a couple years before he passed away, someone stole his car. And the news media got a hold of it, and one news media and another news media and it ended up in the paper and everything about his car being stolen. And everybody was thinking, how could anyone steal Mr. Rogers' car? Well, the very person who stole his car also saw it on the news media and in the newspaper, and he got so much under conviction because he remembered when he was a small boy that he used to watch Mr. Rogers on TV, and it impacted his life, and he was a positive influence to this young man. And guess what? He gave his car back. He brought it back to it. Now, I am certainly not suggesting that Fred Rogers' brand of kindness, the only kind of kindness that there is out there. I'm not saying that, because there's many demonstration examples here in God's Word where kindness is demonstrated and used. But you don't have to put on a sweater, right? Remember his sweaters he wore? You don't have to put on a sweater or invite kids to play in the neighborhood to be kind. You don't have to do that. It's good to do that. But even when it's that type of kindness, kindness has a power to touch the hearts of the most hardened people. Just like this young man who had stolen his car and then became under conviction and give it back. So I want to share this morning on kindness and what it means. But first of all, kindness is all, what kindness is all about? For the answer to that, we need to turn to the scripture to see what it has to say about kindness. And the word kindness, when I'm studying messages, I'm kind of curious about a particular word and how it's used in the Hebrew or Greek and so forth. But I got to look in the scriptures, and the word kindness is used 59 times in the New Testament. And it appears another 12 times also. So there are many times that people are spoken of as being kind. And one of the examples of that is Doris in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 and 39. She reminds me of the ladies here in the church who do the prayer shawl ministry or make things or provide meals and so forth for our people, the funerals and our community and so forth. And Doris, it says here in verse 36, verse 36. And she always showed kindness. She was always doing something for others. Here in verse 36, Acts chapter 9, it says, "Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek called Doris. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity." What's charity? Love. "Which she continually did." Now, if you should read verse 39, it talks about that even Peter heard about this, and he went to meet up with her because he wanted to thank her for her kindness and so forth. And she was there with the other ladies still doing kind and loving things to to help people, and she did that continually. So there is another example of kindness and how we can demonstrate and apply it in our own lives. And like I said, it don't come easy, does it? It's hard to be kind to everybody, but you try to be kind to everybody you know, but it's good to be kind, according to the scriptures, to those you don't know, even your enemies. We are to love our enemies. So I want us to think about Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, I read a few minutes ago, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is the word kindness. And that means one of the characteristics of a Christian is allowing the Holy Spirit to give His way in our lives, which brings about kindness. And Paul talks about that. Walk in the Spirit, be kind, with humility, treat others as you would yourself, Ephesians. But let's look at another verse here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, which says, "So, as those have been chosen of God," guess what? You've been chosen of God, right? If you're a Christian, you've been chosen of God. Well, everyone has been chosen from the foundations of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, around verse 4, and then we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to know Him as our personal Savior. In verse 13 of Ephesians 1, then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So see, that leads us up to the fruit of the Spirit when we think about the fruits that God gives us. So I'm going to read this verse again. "So as those have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion." Who had the heart of compassion? Christ. Because many times when He saw the multitudes or those who were in need, the scripture says that He had compassion upon them. He met their needs. And then there's the word kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And everybody here this morning has patience, right? Well, that's something maybe we all need to work on too as well. No, I've told you I don't pray for patience anymore. I used to pray for patience and God wore me out with it. So I don't pray for patience anymore. I just pray for strength for the task each day that He lays before me. So a lot of people think of compassion, humility, and gentleness, and patience as being godly. And that's a part of it. But I want you to think about something else. I want you to notice that we have another command to make kindness a part of our lives. I don't want to leave anyone out or anything, but I tell you what, Dennis Swanholt was a blessing to me and Brenda when we was laid up, okay? Dennis called me at least two or three times, several times, but at least 2 days he called and check on me. And see, to me, that's kindness. That's showing loving kindness, as the scripture talks about, to see how he was doing. And before he hung up, man, he prayed with me. And I could just feel the energy through that my phone of the power of God at work. And thank you, Dennis, for that. And all of you others who prayed for Brenda and I, that's kindness. And the cards that we receive, we appreciate all of you for doing that. So that leads us to the second major point of this message. And the second part is why kindness is so important. It's important. It wasn't important, I don't think Paul would have placed it in the fruit of the Spirit, would he? There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. So while kindness may be hard to put into words, I mean, and you might want to sit down this afternoon and write out your own definition or description of kindness, and when you do that, it will mean maybe more to to you by doing that than just hearing it from me. When we do stuff, sit down and take time to think through and pray through something, and as we do it, it has much more meaning. I wasn't able to attend Lee Matthews' funeral because we was still laid up, and I was called by the Lions to do the memorial service, the Lions memorial service, and I told Robbie, I'm sorry, I hadn't passed that deadline yet, and I can't get out, and so forth. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll write up a service for you, and you can do it. And that's what she did. So there's ways that we can do stuff and help out, even when we're laid up and so forth. And I appreciate the Lions for having that type of service for people who are a part of the Lions club. Now, so while kindness may be hard to put in words, it's not hard to realize. Just as you cannot truly tell or precise the point of a rainbow or where it begins or where it ends. I mean, you can see it, but the depths of that is, you know, phenomenal to me. Brenda and I was driving home a couple days ago, and it just rained, and the most beautiful rainbow across the sky, all different colors. And you know, it's a reminder that we won't be flooded by rain again, but it shows God's beauty in nature and so forth, and he's always in control. So just as you can't see the precise point of rainbow, the red and where the orange begin, you cannot tell the point where love and kindness ends, okay? The two are connected to one another in inseparable ways. They are very connected. So God's love cannot be completely distinguished from God's mercy and grace. They are tied together. Now, I want us to consider something this morning, one other very important thought when it comes to being kind, or kindness, which is so important in a Christian life, in everybody's life. It's so important because it's one of the most effective tools in reaching people with the good news, that God loves them, that God loves them. I was in a meeting just a few weeks ago, and it was brought up that one of our pastor friends, he's deceased now, but when he met someone or talked to someone, the first thing out of his mouth, he would say, God loves you. And I heard the testimony of different ones said, you know, that was one reason, well, he wasn't a pastor, but one that knew him, but he said that to them, he became a Christian because of that. They didn't realize, you know, the love of God until somebody expressed that to him, that God loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants to be your Savior. And so it makes a big difference. That was showing loving kindness to someone that didn't know Christ is his Savior, and this pastor might not have known that at the time, but he became a Christian because of that. So what was it attracted sinners to Jesus? I believe it was his love and kindness, God's love and kindness. That's what attracted sinners to Jesus, and we can attract those to Jesus as well by our kindness. It's the same for us today. So most people will never be Bible scholars. You know, much as I've studied the Bible all these years and 8 years of Bible college and seminary, I'm still, I don't consider myself a scholar, in because there's so much to learn in God's Word. And even though I'm in it every day, you know, there's so much to learn from just the fruit of the Spirit and how we can apply that in our lives. Most people will never be scholars, but the Bible knowledge alone doesn't make a person effective in sharing their faith. Now, but when it comes to kindness, it earns a hearing for the gospel like nothing else ever did, being kind. All right, let's look at the final point here. What kindness looks like. And while we must lay the proper foundation for kindness, in a sense, the final point of this message is most important because it will be the most practical. All right? We must know what kindness looks like if we are going to make it a part of our lives. We need to know what it looks like if we're going to make it a part of our lives. Because I think the example of David, King David, you know, he was a shepherd boy. And he wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, he knew who his Lord was. He knew who guided him. The Lord was his shepherd. And when he became the king of Israel, you know, he took the reign from Saul. God wasn't pleased with Saul. Saul wasn't always kind. So that's why I want to use David as an example this morning. A lot of times when kings left the throne and a new king came, they would annihilate or take out the previous king and their family so they would not be tempted to try to get or regain their throne. But here's the difference. David didn't do that. If you read in the scriptures, David took on Jonathan's son who was crippled. Vicki knows that. She's sitting there nodding her head. She knows where I'm going with this. David took him in his own palace, his own home, to take care of him and treated him like he was his own son. He showed that loving kindness because David didn't think he was getting the right care he needed, being a cripple and so forth. So his friendship with Jonathan was so great. He loved Jonathan just like a brother. So he took Jonathan's brother in and took care of him and met his need because of his love for Jonathan and him. So as we come to a conclusion here, 2 Samuel 9:3 tells us about David and taking Jonathan's son who was crippled in, and he called it the kindness, God's loving kindness. Now, in closing this morning, we see the importance of kindness, and I want us to conclude with some very practical help that I think is important for all of us. We might consider the old Byzantine example called Strato. Now, you might not have heard of the Byzantine example, but it's an old Orthodox church example of sharing, and it's an Eastern Orthodox back in the Byzantine days. But we might consider it because It's stopping one thing before beginning another. Okay, that's what stratho means. Stopping one thing before beginning another. An example is this, and I've often thought about this, is on your way home from work, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes, turn off your radio. Put down your cell phone and don't be looking at it for at least 5 to 10 minutes before you get home, okay? Because that way you can get your thoughts in order, because when you get home, you're going to be meeting your spouse or your children or something like that. And that way you're going to show them kindness. And that way you can sit down and say, how was your day? You see where I'm going with this? Stopping one thing before you begin another. So give it at least 5, 10 minutes, whatever time you need to get your thoughts in order to show kindness to someone else. And another way is, there might be someone that you know is sick, and they just need to hear a voice and say, how are you doing? Praying for you. See, that's showing their love and kindness. That's being thoughtful. And the point this morning, that being kind doesn't happen unless we put some effort into it, allowing it to happen in our life. So the fruit of the Spirit living in us should naturally be kindness. But we must make sure that we are receptive to what God wants to do in our hearts. We need to be receptive to what God wants to do in our hearts. And when we do, then all the fruit of the Spirit will just flow through our life. It's like allowing Christ to live through our life. That's what he wants to do. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your message. Kindness, what a word. What a way to put it into practice. It's an effort, but we must take time to do that. Stopping one thing before we begin another thing. Give it some thought. Even prayer to help us to be able to demonstrate your kindness, your compassion upon other people. Lord, I just thank you for this day. If your blessings already, may we always be reminded of your loving kindness. And as it flows from you to us, may we pass it on. We often sing that song, pass it on. So Lord, thank you for each one here. And it's going to be accomplished as we practice the fruit of the Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.